Chalkhill Park has been part of the landscape of my life for decades. I often take my children there to play in the playground or walk our dog, and they are as keen to visit as I once was as a child. Throughout the 1970s, I spent many happy hours there, climbing trees, feeding the peacocks, and playing hide-and-seek with my sister in the rose gardens. These visits to the park usually coincided with a trip to my grandparents' house, which was situated on the nearby Chalkhill Hall estate. My father grew up in that house and described Chalkhill Park in the 1940s and 50s as a fantastic place where he would get up to all sorts, catching newts in the pond, being chased by the parkie and riding his bike. He remembered visiting the house as a young child and buying sweets and ice creams from the cafe inside. For many years, the house has been closed to the public, and until recently, I had never been inside. In 2007, Metal commissioned me to research the history of the building. After much delving through archives, maps and books, and through numerous conversations with local people, I have uncovered stories of Chalkhill Hall Manor that stretch back to the 13th century and include tales of Celtic burial mounds, hidden natural springs and buried treasure.
The first great Chalkhill Manor House was built in the 14th century and described in the Milton Manor records of 1336 as a fortified house with a large hall and a chalk-lined spring. Great Chalkhill Manor House stood in a place called Moat Field, which was situated far behind the current house.
An old moat of great depth and width, which can be clearly defined, enclosing more than an acre.
On old deeds to Chalkhill Manor House, Moat Field can be clearly seen, showing that this first manor house stood on the circular green known today as Ridgeway Gardens. There is no remaining evidence of this manor house, but it is possible to imagine this grand residence surrounded by open fields facing the river, encircled by a large moat. Ken Crowe, the curator at Southam Museum, said the house was probably similar in style to the brick and timber building of South Church Hall Park.
So that's built around that period?
That we know was built in the second half of the 14th century.
Great Chalkhill Manor is next mentioned in the 15th century in the will of a sheep farmer by the name of Robert Swett. By 1498, a Cobham of Burniston Esquire was the lord of Great Chalkhill Manor. When he died, his estate passed to his nephew, Henry Allen Esquire. In 1536, when King Henry VIII ordered the dissolution of the monasteries, the entire estate of the monks of Christchurch passed to the hands of one of King Henry's favourites, Sir Richard Rich, who became Speaker at the House of Commons in 1537. Around the middle of the 16th century, a second manor house was built at Chalkhill Hall.
A mansion on the road to Lee, its sites and various enclosures are still visible. It was built circa King Henry VIII and was lath and plaster with a frontage next to the river. There was a porch next to the highway, in front of which stood two great elms.
A map of the estate from 1830 shows the outline of this house, which was called the Old Homestead and located on the current junction of King's Road and Old Lee Road. By the late 17th century, this second Chalkhill Manor House belonged to a wealthy vicar called Reverend Charles Tyrrell. The property stayed in the possession of the Tyrrell family for the following 135 years, passing down from generation to generation of men, all called Charles Tyrrell. The Victorian Philip Benton talked of archaeological excavations on the Chalkhill Hall estate in the late 19th century. There was a Celtic burial mound that was uncovered, situated to the east of the house in the northwest corner of a field called Fishponds. Benton describes how the mound was first opened in 1860.
About 8 feet of earth has been removed from the summit, when more bones were found, but were not inspected. The mound is still about 4 feet above the surrounding soil and would pay further research.
The field formerly called Fishponds is now buried under the busy intersection of Chalkwell Avenue and Imperial Avenue. In 1827, the manor house was sold to a wealthy farmer called George Pendrell Mason. descended from a Protestant Huguenot family who escaped persecution in Catholic France. The Mason's family motto was, "I will not be dragooned," meaning I will not be frightened out. The present Chalkwell Hall is the third manor house to be built on the land and stands on a different site to the other two. George Mason erected the Grand Georgian building we know today as Chalkwell Hall in 1830. This became a farmhouse on a large estate. The trees lining the drive were planted that same year. The Prittlewell Tide map of 1841 shows acres of arable land and pasture that belonged to Mason, stretching right down to the seafront and to the present site of Crowstone Road in the east and Lord Roberts Avenue in the west. The estate included acres of farming land, the large farmhouse at Chalkwell Hall, Chalkwell cottages, offices, a yard and three other cottages that were rented out to agricultural labourers. Mason also let the property to tenant farmers. A handwritten inventory of Chalkwell Hall, written by Arthur Bentall, lists the rooms and contents of the property shortly before it was sold.
Butler's pantry, housekeeper's room, kitchen, scullery. Lots of separate rooms, isn't there?
A local man called Dennis Bear has records in his family archive that show the Chalkwell Hall estate was inherited by a relative of his.
My father tells me, or told me, that he knew a chap who remembered Thomas Bear riding round the estate in an open carriage.
Now that's very interesting, because I heard a wonderful story from a lady I met. Her grandfather remembers his father telling him that the lord of the manor used to ride around in a pony and trap, and that there was a row of elm trees that went from the house right down to the seafront, and it was like their own private road down to the beach.
That was probably Thomas Bear then.
That was probably your grandfather's
great-grandfather's
brother.
Mm-hmm. The current Mr. Bear's great-uncle married Catherine Cormas in 1858. In 1899, the Bears sold the Chalkwell Hall estate to Southend Council and Chalkwell Hall Syndicate.
In the late 19th century, there was a building boom in the Southend area, spurred on by the newly developed railway line from London to Southend. All but 26 acres of the original Chalkwell Hall farm was used to build the Chalkwell Hall housing estate. Chalkwell Park opened in 1901, and the farmhouse became a cafe in the centre of the park.
80 years ago, my mother used to meet me from Chalkwell Park Infant School and bring me into the park to feed the pigeons, which were always gathered round the White House. And if you went into the house and had a cup of tea and had it out on the balcony at the back, the sparrows used to fly down and pinch your crumbs off your table.
All my life, I've lived within 5-10 minute walk of this park, and as a young child I remember going into the Chalkwell Hall when there was a cafe there, because there wasn't anywhere else that you could get drinks, and it was quite a treat.
No, it's a fabulous place, wonderful place, a bit of everything for everybody in here. People talk about standards in the old days being loads better. You look at the photos of then, the grass was knee high, cut with scythes probably.
Other areas were developed into immaculately kept landscape gardens. Chalkwell Park once had its own bandstand.
My memory of the park is totally different to what it is now. The building there was a tea room. It was something you could eat in there, get your scones and everything there. And it was really beautiful. Go around the other side, there was a bear and birds of all descriptions.
The sailors used to bring monkeys home from abroad as pets on the voyage. And of course they weren't allowed to bring them on port. And so they used to set them adrift as they came up the Thames on crates and pieces of wood, and a number of them ended up in the zoo at the back of Chalkwell Hall.
Since Chalkwell Park opened to the public in 1901, it has been well used by the local community and visitors to the area. Reading the inscriptions on the benches dotted around the rose gardens today gives a brief glimpse into how well loved this park still is. Metal Culture have now transformed this Grade 2 listed building into an artist-led centre for debate and creative projects that will bring together local expertise with international ideas across disciplines. The work they do there will become embedded into the memories of a new generation of people living in the area today and a part of the ongoing story of this truly unique place.